The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, we've got a Facebook Live. So I did a Facebook Live in the last couple of days, and of course, not everybody can watch the Facebook Lives, but the information in those Facebook Live events are really important. So I wanted to share them, and I wanted to get them down as a podcast. And so here is that Facebook Live. Speak soon. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking, and this is take two because we just recorded the podcast using Be Live software, but the audio didn't record. So I was looking all wonderful doing the show, and yet the audio didn't record. So there you go. So here we go for take two. So in today's podcast, this is podcast 174. We are going to talk to you about why universal credit is causing homelessness. Now, it's been a while since we've done any podcasts, so we thought, oh, do you know what? We need to crack on and get some more podcasts out of there, because there's always plenty to say, right? There's always something going on in the world, like a crazy amount of stuff going on, and it just gets faster and faster and faster, doesn't it? And we've not been doing it for a while, and you know, people have got to the end of the podcast now out of 172 so far that are published, and yet we're not doing them. So I'm like, let's crack on and get some more podcasts done. So that's why we're here. So podcast 174, why universal credit is causing homelessness. Now, if you're watching on Facebook, then welcome. Thank you for watching on Facebook. If you're watching a replay on YouTube, then welcome again. I appreciate it. Please subscribe. And if you're listening to the podcast show, then please go and give us a five-star review on iTunes. We love those. Thank you so much to everybody who's done that already. So universal credit. Let's talk about that. It's a bit of an emotional subject, is this, because, well, anything to do with money is an emotional subject. It's also a taboo subject, right? Because we are going to make some comments that will be judgmental in some way of a person's financial status, okay? So let's put some ground rules in place so no one gets upset. I know you're going to get upset. Some people will. And let me put it this way. Some people, you know, they could get upset for a living. Do you know what I mean? But if you look at them wrong, or if you say something slightly wrong, they're going to get upset. We live in that world now where you can't say anything, right? So I'm going to say some stuff. You might get upset, and that's okay. I'm a big boy. I can deal with it. You're a grown-up too. You can deal with it too. We're all adults. Excellent. Glad we could agree on that. So let's just cover a couple of things. So universal credit is basically where the government have said, I know, we've got a great idea. Instead of paying the local housing authority rent directly to the landlord so that he makes sure or she makes sure that they get paid, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to pay directly to the tenant, and then we're going to get all those other little benefits. We're going to stick them in one big payment, and we're going to send that over to the tenant as well. Now, this is a problem. And the reason why this is a problem is, let me just put you into a scenario where the tenant's just got paid their money for the month. There's disability allowance in there, there's job seekers allowance, there's local housing authority. I don't know if you can get all of those at the same time because I've never been on benefits, so I wouldn't know, right? But let's assume that that's what happens, and they're getting £1,200, like plucked out of the air, £1,200 in a bank account. Brilliant. They go online, they check the bank balance, and right there is £1,200, phew. Because we had no money in their account for the last week, right? At the food bank, okay? That type of tenant. Now, they get a knock on a door, and there's two guys at the door. If you've ever seen Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away, you'll know what those guys look like. One of them's Paul Bohill, a few other ones, whoever he happens to be with. But they're bailiffs, okay? So now they're knocking on the door. Vanoa is in there, and he owes £1,000. And let's say that's from a catalogue company. I was going to say a credit card company, and then I just remembered, actually, you can't send bailiffs in for credit card debt. I don't know if you knew that, but as far as I know, you can't send bailiffs in for credit card debt, which is quite interesting. But let's say that they are loans and that kind of thing, or it's a car payment and that kind of thing as well. So then the guy opens the door, the bailiffs step in, and before he takes his big screen TV and his whatever else he's got in the house, any spare cash or an Xbox or anything, he's like, well, how much you got in your bank? He's, well, I've got £1,200. Let's say he owes £1,000. And the bailiff, what's the bailiff going to say? The bailiff say, right, we'll have that. He makes a card payment because the person banging on the door, the person making the loudest noise, they're going to get paid first, right? So he pays that money. He's now got £200 left to last the whole month. And out of that, he's got to pay us £500 a month rent. Where's the money going to come from to pay the rent? So now you've got a situation where the landlord isn't going to get paid his rent or her rent, right? Let's just say landlord, when I say his, I mean male and female, right? That just saves all those problems. So, now what happens? We get to the first of the month or they get to the rent payment day and the rent is late. Now, if it's my tenant, after 10 days, we send them a £25 letter. Like usually we'll send them a text as well before we get to the letter because we don't want to charge people 25 quid if we can help it. But if they don't reply, then we send them a £25 letter. And in my process, we send four £25 letters. And then 32 days after the rent is due, you're now technically 2 months in arrears. So we issue a Section 8 that costs 195 quid. And then on day 33, we issue money claim online for all the rent, which is 2 months in arrears, all those letters, and the cost of going to court. So now this tenant who was struggling to pay the bailiff, now struggles to pay his rent, is now going to get made homeless. They're going to stay in that house as long as they can without paying rent, okay, because that's what the councils tell them to do. Stay there as long as you can. The landlord gets really pissed off at this point. And the landlord's like, right, I'm going to give them a CCJ for this because they're not responding to me, they're not paying, and they're not moving out. Now this landlord is being affected, okay? Their children's being affected. And I know everybody thinks all landlords are rich and wealthy. But, like, honestly, they're not. I know a lot of landlords, and all their wealth is hidden in the property, right? They make their money off the rent, and if they're not getting paid rent, they can't eat either, right? So it's a knock-on effect. So what happens then, if the bailiffs have been paid, the tenant's now under a lot of pressure, right? We talk about mental health. My pen's leaking. We talk about mental health and the issues. Like, do we think mental health problems might be linked to your financial status? Like, do rich people have mental health problems too? Yeah, absolutely, right? But due to the stresses and financial stresses, do you think there's a greater impact when you've got no money, you've got bailiffs knocking on your door? Undoubtedly, right? Now, you can't say that's a prejudiced opinion. I would say that's a fact if you look at the numbers. I've not looked at the numbers, but I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. In my days of being financially poor, okay, and I've had those. I've lived on potatoes and beans for a month because I couldn't pay my mortgage, right? I've been there, right? Like, the stress levels are huge, okay? So we know that that happens. So this tenant, this poor tenant, like, they're having all these problems. And then they have to, if they are working, they have to take time off work due to the stress. And then that actually makes the problem even worse. So then what happens is that landlords are now going, well, do you know what? I'm not going to rent to Universal Credit tenants in the first place because I know that what's about to happen. And the statistics show 62% of all Universal Credit tenants are in arrears on their rent, which is just maddening, right? How about this? How about we make sure that at least they have a roof over their head? You know, when people go, you know, housing should be a right. Like, I believe it should be. But if the government insists on paying the tenants for money, and then the tenants have to pay a bailiff to stop the bailiff banging on the door and threatening them all the time, they're just going to pay whoever. So now they've got no money, they're going to be made homeless. It's crazy. All the government has to do is pay the landlord direct, sort that problem out. That is it. That would sort out that problem. Now, imagine getting on an aeroplane, okay, and 62% of the time, it's going to be 4 weeks late. Would you get on that aeroplane? Of course you wouldn't. And yet people expect landlords to take on Universal Credit tenants that are 62% in arrears. And I know you might go, well, not all Universal Credit people are in arrears. You're right. You're absolutely right. 38% of them aren't. But as a percentage, that's not looking good, is it? Would you get on an aeroplane that 62% of the time crashes? Of course you wouldn't, right? You just wouldn't do it. But landlords are supposed to be expected to take on Universal Credit tenants. Like, if your entire portfolio is made up of Universal Credit tenants, right? Your mortgages are £6,000. Your income is £10,000, you know, divided by 10 is £1,000 a month. But 62% of those are in arrears. You're earning £3,800 and your mortgages are £6,000. How are you going to survive? So then it puts your entire portfolio at risk. So even those people who are paying on time are now at risk of being homeless too. It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I see and I hear a lot of people go, well, you're being prejudiced against tenants. You are indirectly discriminating against disabilities because people with disabilities are more likely to be on Universal Credit. I don't know if that's true, but I would guess, I would surmise that's probably true as well. But it's not indirect discrimination. The government is discriminating, if anything, because they're putting these tenants into a situation where they're not going to have enough money to pay the rent.
I think that's wrong in a 21st century society. So, but what these people are asking us to do is take on local housing authority tenants on universal credit, where we know it's 62% of arrears, and they say, well, you know, you shouldn't judge. We should judge. That's the whole point. This is our business. This is our livelihood. We have to judge. Of course you judge. And people say, judging's really bad. Why does X Factor work with four judges there? Right? Everyone's a judge when we're watching X Factor, right? So, we, you know, you go to court, there is a judge. So when people say, oh, you're judging people and not everyone's like that, I agree not everyone's like that, but a large percentage of 62% are in arrears on universal credit. That's a fact. That's not opinion. You can't change that or shift it in some way. But what these other people are saying, well, you should take on universal credit tenants or tenants on local housing authority. You're asking me to cover their losses, 62% losses. So I ask you the question, if you believe we should be taking tenants on who are local housing authority with 62% arrears, if it's okay for us to take that risk, why don't you act as their guarantor? Yeah, you can guarantor for them. We'll take your money. It's just as good as theirs. If they fail to pay, we'll come after you. 62% of the time, that's what will happen. Well, you wouldn't do it, would you? So why are people expecting landlords to do as well? It doesn't make sense. But like we speak to politicians, you know, we've written to politicians and they just don't care. They simply do not care. It doesn't matter, by the way, if you are Labour, Conservative, Monster Raving Loony Party. It doesn't matter what colour you are politically, right? No one is going to get rid of this problem. I know Jeremy Corbyn comes in and the problem with Jeremy Corbyn is he's great taking other people's money till that money runs out. That's the problem with socialism, isn't it? But this universal credit, it's got to stop. And what's got to happen is that payment has to be paid directly to the landlord. So even if the bailiffs are knocking on the door, these tenants are not going to be homeless. These tenants can keep a roof over their head. So look, I'd love to hear what you think. Put it in the comments down below. If you're listening for podcasts, come and give me some feedback. You'll find me on Twitter. Give me some abuse. Whatever you want to do. If you want to come and give me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be awesome too. We love engagement. Everyone's got a different opinion. Sometimes it's a correct opinion, sometimes it's incorrect. And I know you're going, how can an opinion be incorrect? But it can, can't it? So, but I'd love to hear from you. Come and find us, and then we'll speak to you in the next podcast. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.